right number. We'll give you 500 smackers. What number would you like to play, sir?
62.
Yes, that is right. Yeah. 500 smackers to Craig and Irvine.
The winning is just beginning. Listen for the cue to call for your shot at $500 cash. KABC.
Los Angeles.
Orange County. A Cumulus station.
KABC News is live and local at 10 o'clock. I'm Jeff Whittle. A three-day storm system is bearing down on SoCal. It's expected to be the biggest storm this winter.
And Stuart Cito with the National Weather Service says it's bringing a lot of rain with it.
The target area looks like up towards Santa Barbara around the Montecito, where most of the heavier rainfalls are going to occur.
It's also bringing potential mudslides to recent burn areas, including where the Thomas, Whittier, Latuna, and Creek fires burn.
You're just going to have to watch out anywhere where rock slides can occur.
The rain is coming in Tuesday afternoon, with the valleys expecting up to 4 inches of rain, and in the foothills and mountains up to 6 inches. James Rojas, KABC News.
Authorities have released the names of the woman and her ex-husband who shot her to death at the Oaks Mall in Thousand Oaks on Saturday. The victims identified as 29-year-old Parisa Siddiqui, who was working at a store at the mall when she was killed. Her ex-husband's identified as 33-year-old Kevin Crane, who remains hospitalized from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The children of the divorced couple were later found safe. Authorities in Austin, Texas say the device that was used in a fourth explosion last night has similarities to the bombs used in three previous blasts.
Austin police, the ATF, and the FBI are investigating all four explosions that have now killed two and injured four as being connected. The first three were package bombs, but ATF Special Agent Fred Milanowski says the most recent blast was detonated by a tripwire.
Tripwire is a victim actuated switch, literally uses some kind of wire. And when there's pressure put on that wire, it activates or detonates the device.
Authorities say the wire wasn't left for anyone specific, prompting vigilance across the city. I'm Clayton Neville.
And in other news, the former employee of a Trump-affiliated data mining firm, Christopher Wiley, says the company used algorithms that, quote, took fake news to the next level, end quote, using data that was inappropriately obtained from Facebook. Correspondent Joe John says the company was co-founded by Steve Bannon, President Trump's former chief strategist.
One of the big questions is whether the firm, Cambridge Analytica, has been upfront about how it was using the information, because at first it was thought by many to be just research. But one of the founders of Cambridge, who is now spilling the beans in an interview, says that in 2015 they were in touch with Corey Lewin, best known as one of the Trump campaign managers, and that founder of the firm, Christopher Wiley, describes how the information was used apparently like a political weapon.
And this news report is brought to you by Heal.com. Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Trailblazers beat the Clippers 122-109, dropping the Clips in the 10th place in the Western Conference standings. Lakers visit the Pacers at 4 p.m. Ducks defeated the Devils 4-2 to move into third place in the Pacific Division. Fourth place L.A. Kings visit the Wild at 4:30 this afternoon right here on KABC. Martin Truex Jr. took the checkered flag at the NASCAR race in Fontana. College hoops, Florida State upset top seed Xavier 75-70 in the West region yesterday. Nevada nipped number 2 Cincinnati 75-73. And another big upset, Texas A&M embarrassed second seed North Carolina 86-65. And that's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. KABC News Time is 10:03 with dependable traffic when you need it the most. And we do have trouble in the event in the Sherman Oaks area. It's on the eastbound side of the 101, actually on the westbound side at Van Nuys Boulevard. We have an accident still blocking the right-hand lane with traffic backed up now, basically to the 134 Hollywood split. And now on the south side of the 101 at Lancashire Boulevard in the Cahuenga Pass, we have a wreck clearing from the right shoulder, but you're very slow all the way from Tampa Avenue on the east side of the 101. Norwalk, southbound 5 at Norwalk Boulevard, crash in the center divider area with brake lights back from the 605 interchange. And in Malibu, Topanga Canyon Boulevard, we have one-way traffic control underway from Pacific Coast Highway to Grandview for repairs and cleanup from a much earlier accident. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC Dependable Traffic. KABC SoCal weather, partly cloudy today, highs mid-60s to the low 70s, 20% chance of rain tomorrow, with rain likely Wednesday and Thursday, and right now it's 58 at LAX, 56 in Santa Ana, 50 in Woodland Hills. Get news at the top of the hour, at the bottom, and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
As soon as our difficulties are restored, we will return you to our regularly scheduled program.
Let's take it from the top.
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 begins right now. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. He'll beat anyone's advertised price or your mattress is free. I've got some great concert tickets today. Lady Antebellum, the huge group, Darius Rucker, all together. August 24th, tickets are on sale, but I got tickets to go see them. Also, comedian Rodney Carrington at the City National Grove. I'll tell you when to call to get those tickets. Lots of national news to discuss, but I want to start locally. The phone number, 800-222-5222, if you'd like to participate in the conversation we're having, or if you have something on your mind that you'd like to bring up, be happy to talk to you about it. Again, 800-222-5222. One of the stories is that the LAPD used gang injunctions to fight crime pretty successfully. We had a huge crime problem here with gangs. Remember that? For a long, long time. When I moved here, it was horrendous. In 1988, 89, 90, 70s. I mean, the gangs originated here. You had the Crips, the Bloods, and they used these gang injunctions to make us safer. Now, all of a sudden, a judge has ruled that the injunctions cannot be used. I wanted to get an expert on, Royal Oaks, KBC News legal analyst. Welcome to the show. How are you, Royal?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you today?
Good. I always ask you, the first question I ask is, how's the giant Great Dane?
Oh, he's doing great. We love to get Great Danes from these rescue places. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard, but back in the old days when the Batman TV show was on, the guy who played Robin was Burt Ward.
Right.
He, after retiring from acting, he and his wife have a Great Dane rescue ranch out in the Inland
Do
Empire.
Do they really?
Yeah, you just go out there and you just, you know, hang out with all these rescue Danes and you pick one out. Aww. And you go home. And it's a wonderful service.
Is that what yours is, a rescue Dane?
Yeah, exactly.
That's very sweet. How did you determine his personality was one that you'd want?
You know, I think it's kind of like when you go to Petco and you're looking for a cat. You just kind of poke through the bars and you see if somebody takes your finger out or if they lick it. And, you know, if they seem affectionate, then there you go.
Can I ask you something I never
it's
asked you
before? Scientific.
So people like to cuddle with the dogs. They like to carry the dogs. They like to, you know, do all kinds of stuff, have them sleep on the bed. With a Great Dane, it's a different thing. You're not picking them up. You're not like, they're not a cuddle dog. So you're not, is there an issue? You're not a cuddler?
You'd have to be the Incredible Hulk, to cuddle a Great Dane. No, you're right. It's one of those things you just can't do. He weighs 180 pounds. And so, you know, they're very affectionate. They roll over on their back. They want to, you know, rub their belly and all that. But they're very protective. But yeah, no, you can't pick them up and take them as a comfort dog.
So what do you do to show affection? I know I'm getting a little personal. You just kiss him on the top of his head and give him a nice pat, and that's it?
Just Valentine's every February 14th.
Well, I'm glad he's still around, because I just realized how horrible would it be if I said, how's the Dane? And you said, oh, he passed away. You know, they don't live
there.
So let's segue to something a little more serious. Federal judge barred the city from enforcing almost all of the remaining gang injunctions. My understanding, and you clear this up, is when you seek an injunction, you don't seek it against an individual. You seek it against a gang. And that means that I may not even know there's an injunction involving my gang, and I don't have a chance to disprove that I'm not a member or affiliated with that gang. So it takes away my due process. Is that kind of accurate in the way the judge defined it?
It is, but, you know, it's actually broader than that, in the sense that you can go against a gang, you can go against an individual, you know, you're supposed to mention the gang. But the point is, and this is a big development, a federal judge really threw a curve to Los Angeles and the police department. What the judge said was, okay, I think the ACLU has a point here, because to get the gang injunctions, or specifying a person who you say is in X gang, to get it in the past, the government never actually had to give due process, notice, an opportunity to the alleged gang member to be heard and object and say, hey, Your Honor, they put me on the list, it's wrong. Because the government didn't do that, the cops just went to the judge and said, you know, here's the justification As a result, this federal judge thinks that was flawed. And during the pendency of this lawsuit over the last 2 years, Peter, the number of people who are subject to this, the gang injunctions in LA have dwindled from 9,000 down to 1,500, because over the last 2 or 3 years, the city keeps removing almost 8,000 people from the list, admitting we don't really have any evidence that they are active gang members and there was no due process opportunity to be heard. So what this judge says is you can go for your injunctions, but first you have to give a person the opportunity to come in and have a hearing, and only after a determination that, yes, he really is apparently a gang member would the injunction go into effect. So that's the ruling, and Chief Beck, Charlie Beck, is unhappy. He thinks that it's a really important tool that's now being taken away from him.
It would seem to be. So that's going to paralyze a lot of neighborhoods as far as reaching out to gang members and asking them to come in and negotiate with them with whether in the bang or not. How does that have to do with safety zones and clothing and all of that stuff, hanging with family members who are gang affiliated?
Exactly right. They say that as a result of these injunctions, gang crime has gone down over 20% in the last couple of years alone. And what it gets into is you're suggesting the colors, the signs, associating with people who are in gangs. Even if you yourself have never been convicted of a crime, these injunctions allow the cops to say, Mr. X, you may not associate with these gang members. Curfews are imposed. Basically, they just don't want people to gather on the streets, and it has been a huge help in terms of crime. But, this could go up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The city could say, look, we're not going to take this line down. The federal trial court judge has spoken, but we want to take it to the Ninth Circuit. And they could get it reversed. On the other hand, the Ninth Circuit could say, no, we think they do.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Right. Why would the thinking be different than in the Ninth Circuit? If this judge was pretty credible in his thinking and linear in his thinking and used the law correctly or interpreted the law correctly, what would the Ninth do that would change this? What would you change as an argument?
Yeah, actually, it's Virginia Phillips, who is a federal judge, and she's a big deal. She's the head judge of the United States District Court for the Central District of California. But to answer your question, the Ninth Circuit, of course, consists of 20-plus judges, a lot of liberal, a lot moderate, a lot conservative. You'd never know what three-judge panel you're going to get from the Ninth Circuit, so they may take a different slant on the legal issues. Because it's a tough one. I mean, for years and years, the LA City was allowed to proceed with injunctions on this basis.
Right.
Judge Phillips' position is no, we think that's a due process violation. You could get a difference of opinion from the Ninth Circuit, so it's kind of up in the air. But that's, of course, going to take a few years to sort out. As of now, the injunction tool really has been watered down somewhat because it just doesn't look like the police and the local authorities are going to be willing or able to go to court a lot to go through this whole due process system before they impose the gang injunctions.
Well, and I hope that we don't see a resurgence. I know I've been reading a couple articles that say, well, the gang issue is different. It's diminished from what it used to be, where we had all these rapid retaliation killings and stuff. But maybe the reason is because of the way we were able to use the injunctions to fight crime. And now without that, there could be a resurgence. Is that a huge fear?
Yeah, and certainly if you listen to Chief Beck, that's what he's saying. He's saying that these injunctions are super helpful in curbing crime. He gives you the statistic about gang crime being down over 20% in recent years, and he says that the reason for that are these injunctions. So, yeah, I mean, if we see gang crime spiking now in the wake of this ruling and the reduced effectiveness of gang injunctions, you know, people are going to have to take that into account in deciding how they view all of these constitutional issues.
Yeah, the other problem too, and you feel horrible for people who live in gang infested neighborhoods. You walk outside now, if there are gang members congregating or, you know, outside sitting in the cars, hanging out, waiting, and people are scared, the injunction, they can't do that anymore. They can't sweep by and say, no, you can't congregate. So they can slowly start taking over neighborhoods again with this injunction gone.
That's right. It's very emotional. I mean, you see on some of these like TV news reports about this decision, because it's been big news the last several days.
Sure.
You see people being interviewed who feel like they're just captive. They cannot go outside their homes. They've got bars on the windows. On the other hand, you get the interviews with people who say, look, I was kind of messing around as kind of a juvenile delinquent. That was several years ago. I've never really been convicted, though. I never really was in a gang, and yet I was swept up into this big net because you know, they just assumed, they didn't have to prove it in court, I didn't have my day in court, it really held me back. You know, one guy was interviewed on KNBC along those lines. So there are two sides to the coin, but, you know, right now it's just got to be sorted out in the courts.
Yeah, I hope they sort it out pretty soon so we can continue to live in safety.
That would be nice.
And figure out what other tools to use against gangs. Got Royal Oaks on with us, KBC News legal analyst. The other big local story was Chief Beck came out in this particular case, the Brendan Glenn shooting, and actually thought that they should go after the police officer who took this guy down in Venice. Jackie Lacey issued an 82-page memo where she gave an indication that she would not proceed. I'm guessing the subtext here is, if I took it to jury, I don't think I could win, is the end result of that. But you don't usually see a case where even the police chief says, this looked like it could have been an egregious use of power. And the fact that this guy was kind of bothering people in Venice at restaurants, et cetera, cops came, one cop told him to cut it out. He did for a while, then they got into a scuffle, they hit the ground, the cop then ended up shooting the guy, and claimed that he went for the gun. The other officer could not quantify that and say, yes, he was going for the gun. And this is one of the, this is like a picture of a case. If you can't go after this guy, some are saying, then how can you ever prosecute a police officer? Because they could always argue that I felt for the safety of my life and that they were going for my gun in a scuffle.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And once again, Charlie Beck, he's in both of our stories. If he shows up on American Idol, then we'll know he's really got a good PR guy. But yeah, so this guy, Brendan Glenn, he was a homeless guy in Venice. You know, he's skateboarding around a lot, apparently. This is 2015. He gets in a scuffle with the cops. And this officer, Proctor, who's now resigned from the LAPD a couple of years ago as a result of the whole thing, Proctor shoots him dead. And as you say, it's kind of unusual to have the police chief, Charlie Beck, saying, hey, right, we ought to prosecute this cop. You should put this guy on trial. Yeah, he's one of mine, but I've looked into it, and I think it's a bad shooting. And yet, 3 years later, after 3 years of examining this, the district attorney, Jackie Lacey, has decided, nope, this, you know, I'm the decider here, no charges against the officer.
$3 million, I should say, also, and $4 million to the family.
Yeah, exactly right. It was a big settlement. Did not go actually go to trial. The city settled it for, as you say, $4 million. The DNA tests were inconclusive. You know, they tried to show that maybe this fellow Brendan Glenn's fingerprints were on the cop's weapon, but it didn't really show that. But it is a very rare fight between the DA on the one hand and the police chief on the other as to whether or not there should be a prosecution. Some people criticize the DA, Jackie Lacey, and they say, oh, let's look at the record. She became DA 6 years ago. She has not brought a single charge against a cop for an on-duty shooting. And some people in the LA Times had an article about the development of the law in this area. Some people say, well, you know, the cops really kind of have the advantage. If they can show that they had a reasonable perception of a threat, then it's okay for them to shoot to kill. Even if it turns out, you know, whoops, it was a toy gun, it wasn't real, but if they reasonably perceived it. So you had surveillance camera footage in this Brendan Glenn situation, and, you know, it's all blurry and grainy and hard to tell, but Beck looks at it, and he says, doggone it, he should be prosecuted. Lacey looks at it, and she says no, and some people note that she issued an 83-page memo. I'm sure she had a lot of her sharp DAs in the office working for her, writing this up, justifying the decision. And so, but some people say, well, it reads more like an advocacy piece. But, you know, I think her attitude was, this is very controversial. The police chief thinks he should have been prosecuted. My job is to decide that, but my bottom line is no. And she just didn't think the evidence was there. It's interesting, Peter, there was a clash between what Beck said. He said, well, the cops were using loud voices and cursing. And
yeah, they escalated it, right.
But the DA's report said, no, the cops were calm and professional. So you really have a rare disconnect between the DA and the cops.
Well, and also, talking to Royal Oaks, she criticized Beck, saying it was unprecedented for the, you know, to criticize the district attorney's office. But does that mean that any police officer can basically claim genuine fear for their safety, and it's hard to prove that they weren't in fear for their safety? If the chief says, he's one of mine, I watched it, I know these right officers, I've been in these situations, and you can't, you should go after him. And Lacey decides on this case, with the chief saying, this is it, you should criminally charge this guy, doesn't do it. then, again, fear for his safety, or he was going for my gun, like trumps everything else.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of people say, well, yeah, maybe it should be kind of hard to prosecute cops here, because, I mean, let's look at this in perspective. These guys are the thin blue line that protect us from chaos and barbarity. They're the people that make sure that we don't get killed by really bad people. And they have the courage to, you know, for not a huge amount of money, to walk the streets and get into scuffles and have physical fights. And if you are going to second guess a cop when he gets into one of these scuffles and question whether or not he really was reasonable in shooting, then you're not going to get too many people applying for the job. I mean, that's one take, and I think that's how people would defend Jackie Lacey's position. Other people would say, well, it's honorable that Beck is willing to go after one of his own guys if he sincerely feels he should have been prosecuted. At the end of the day, though, I mean, it's the DA's job to decide whether to prosecute and not the cops. It's a little bit, I mean, I know the analogy is weird, but it's a little like the James Comey situation. He's like the cop. He was the FBI director, and he said, oh, I don't think you should prosecute Hillary, and here are my reasons. Well, that's not really his job. The job is of the Department of Justice to decide whether to prosecute somebody. But so I think, you know, here you got Beck, who's entitled to express his opinion, but it is sort of a rare schism. Maybe I think he's kind of a short-termer. I think he's on his way out. He's decided he's going to retire. Maybe he feels like he's free to really express his opinion about
this. Or maybe he just saw it and felt, honestly, that this was a misuse of, and that he should go to trial, that it was abusive. And I get that it should be hard to go after a police officer because their job is inherently dangerous every minute of every day. But this sure. this is a really unusual case. Even though misconduct cases are really tough to win, it is odd when to have to just the fact that she wrote an 83-page memo already says to justify it. An 83-page memo, she must have known she was in territory that needed that kind of justification.
Yeah, because it was under a microscope, because of the rare situation of the head of the LAPD coming out and saying, yeah, we really should prosecute this guy. And I'm sure, as you say, he is sincere. I'm sure he really believes this. It's not some sort of political game. But it is a very highly charged political issue. I mean, you go back to the Ezell Ford shooting from 2 or 3 years ago. He was, you know, shot and killed in South L.A. after allegedly grabbing the cop's gun, and the surveillance video was kind of murky, and you had different witness opinions. And, you know, you've got a bunch of situations where you have black men being shot by white cops, and people point to that factor and so on. But, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully people who evaluate this are colorblind and just look at the evidence and make the hard decision as to whether to put these cops on trial or not.
Well, we got to run. Is that it, though? Is this case done, closed, end of story, or will we hear more about it?
Yeah, no, I think this is the end of the line, because nobody's going to be able to second guess District Attorney Jackie Lacey. If she says no charges, then there's no appeal of the Ninth Circuit on that. It's just Charlie Beck gets to grumble about it and say, well, I think she got it wrong.
Got Royal, thanks so much for being on. The website is royaloaks.com, the Twitter at Royal Oaks. Give your dog a big kiss on the head for me, and I'll talk to you next time. Take it
thanks,
easy.
Peter.
See you later. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
790 KABC has dependable traffic when you need it the most. Sig Alert remains in effect in Malibu. Topanga Canyon Boulevard is one-way traffic control at the moment between Pacific Coast Highway and Grandview because of an earlier crash and cleanup. Also in Sherman Oaks, westbound on the 101 at Van Nuys Boulevard, pile up being cleared from the right-hand lane, but you're slow all the way from the 134. In fact, things start to slow down around Cahuenga Boulevard on the westbound 134 approaching the 101. Also, we do have a little trouble spot in the city of Industry, westbound 60 at the 605, an accident in the middle lane with slowing from Hacienda Boulevard, and then up ahead we have a Caltrans project, West 60 at Paramount Boulevard. Two right lanes are coned off, and so there's another stretch of brake lights back from about Santa Anita Avenue, and traffic sponsored by Serta. It's the Serta Spring into Comfort sales event. Don't settle for comfortable. Get Serta comfortable and save big today. Visit HB Mattress in Huntington Beach or SertaRetailers.com. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC Dependable Traffic.
Evolve. 790. KABC.
Yo, let's do this.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Coming up, we're going to talk about the firing of Mr. McCabe. with you, 800-222-5222. Stormy Daniels, supposedly going to be out $20 million. The Trump administration going after her for disregarding her do-not-talk-hush payment of $130,000. We'll talk about that. Presidents in New Hampshire, I'll talk about that. And Jews control the weather, obviously, according to a D.C. lawmaker. Of course they do. Look at Florida. It never rains. The Jews are in control of that. Arizona, same thing. I think I can prove that he's right. 800-222-5222. We'll be back after a brief break for the news.
KABC News, live and local at 10:30. I'm Jeff Whittle. A small city in Orange County is hoping to make big waves by fighting California's sanctuary state status.
Tonight at the Los Alamitos City Council meeting, Mayor Pro Tem Warren Kusumoto is introducing an ordinance that would exempt the city from the state's sanctuary law.
The purpose of this ordinance is to just go on record for my city that we are going to adhere to the Constitution of the United States. As far as compliance goes.
This comes after U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced a lawsuit over three new state laws that he says interferes with immigration officials. Tonight's city council meeting begins at 6. James Rojas, KABC News.
In other news, a California state legislator is now trying to make retail thefts a felony once again.
Assemblyman Reggie Jones Sawyer, who represents Los Angeles, is looking to crack down on serial retail theft with a two-strikes approach.
It also allows law enforcement to take an individual into custody on an arrest for any misdemeanor if they have been convicted, cited, or arrested of theft from retailers twice within the previous year.
He says his bill, AB 1065, is needed after California made thefts under $950 a misdemeanor. It now awaits a vote in the state Senate. Assemblyman Joan Sawyer was a guest on McIntyre in the Morning. I'm Leanne Tweeden, KABC News.
And the New York City Council's launched an investigation into Jared Kushner's real estate firm for possible criminal activity.
The Housing Rights Initiative here in New York found that Kushner Companies filed false paperwork with the city, claiming that they had no rent-stabilized tenants at several apartment buildings in Queens, when they actually had a number of people with regulated leases for below-market rate rents. The company, which Jared Kushner was running at the time, then renovated apartments and sold the buildings for nearly double what they paid. Had they filed the correct paperwork, it would have triggered stricter oversight. The rent-stabilized tenants believed this was an attempt to get rid of them. A statement from the company denied any intentional wrongdoing. Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Portland pounded the Clippers 122-109 for the Blazers' 13th straight win. Lakers visit Indiana this afternoon. Ducks skated by New Jersey 4-2 to move into third place in the Pacific Division. Fourth place LA Kings visit Minnesota at 4:30 this afternoon right here on KABC. Juan Martín Del Potro upset top seed Roger Federer in the men's final of the tennis tournament at Indian Wells. And college hoops, Florida State upset top seed Xavier 75-70 in the West region. Yesterday, number two Cincinnati upset by Nevada, second seed North Carolina knocked out by Texas A&M, and that's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more till in a 10 next. KABC News Time, 10:32. Here's your 790 KABC market check. And boy, it's a dismal day on Wall Street. Tech sector especially down, and the Dow is off 442 points. So it's down 1.75%. S&P 500 in the red by 51. NASDAQ's down 2.4% for the day. It's off 184 points. KABC, SoCal weather. Partly cloudy today, highs mid-60s near the coast of the low 70s inland. Slight chance of rain tomorrow, rain likely Wednesday and Thursday. And it's 57 in Van Nuys, 62 in Huntington Beach, 64 in Downey. And KABC Weather, sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings. Come to B-Dubs now for two cheeseburger or two chicken tender sliders with fries for just $5. This is how we do happy hour and late night Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Get news at the top of the hour, at the bottom, and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790 KABC News. There's no better time to plan your Las Vegas escape, especially now, with rooms starting at just $39 a night at MGM Resorts, where you can enjoy the best live shows and award-winning restaurants. Book today at MGMResorts.com. KABC News, sponsored by MGM Resorts.
I got a dial tone.
If you'd like to make a call,
dial 800-222-5222, because the KABC phone lines are open.
Thank you.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tillman 10 continues. The phone number 800-222-5222. We'll talk about the gang thing. Feel free to call about that. Coming up, we're going to try and get to the bottom of this Facebook story and the Cambridge Analytics and the whistleblower and why it's a big problem. We shall do that one together, 800-222-5222. But I wanted to get on Jessica Levinson for a moment here, professor at Loyola Law School, president of the Los Angeles Ethics Commission, to talk about McCabe's being let go, but fired 2 days before his pension would have kicked in and he would have retired. Because there's a lot of moving parts to this story, and a couple of them I have questions about. Good morning, Jessica. How are you?
Good morning.
So on this story, Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, I guess was prudent in waiting and letting this go through the inspector general, the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility. So this way, the FBI themselves, their internal mechanism can decide if McCabe did something right or he did something wrong, and they found lack of candor and suggested that he be let go. Is that correct?
That's correct, right.
Okay, so, and that's a nonpartisan, that's not a political issue at that point. As a matter of fact, from what I understand, Michael Horowitz, who's the inspector general, was an Obama appointee. Is that correct?
Right, I think he's a holdover. That's right.
A holdover. So a lot of these people who made decisions are from a previous administration, which gives the president, and I'm kind of reverse engineering this and would like to get your take, gives the president cover when it comes to obstruction of justice. If somebody said, you've made another move to obstruct justice in this Mueller investigation and the investigation into Russia, et cetera, he goes, no. The FBI, they sent it to the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility. It was reviewed, and they issued their own disciplinary proposal recommending the dismissal. Am I getting that right?
Yes. Correct again.
All right, so obstruction would be hard to prove here. Any other take on this, however? I know they spun it off from a bigger investigation so they could get rid of him now quicker than waiting for an investigation. Why would you do that?
Well, because I think that, I mean, so we have kind of a he said situation here. So everything you said is correct, that there was an internal investigation. They found that there was a lack of candor. And then we have Andrew McCabe, who is, by the way, a Republican, married to a Democrat, but is a Republican. And he's saying, let me be totally candid with you. This is occurring because of things that I said to the president and actions that I took. And this is occurring because it's simply vindictive. And because what you're trying to do, and this is where the obstruction of justice comes in, what you're trying to do is discredit me. So that if I do become a witness or if I do have to provide certain evidence, then it's just discounted because it's like, well, look, that's the guy who was fired right before he got his pension. And so I think that, yes, we have this. And what you've said, I think, has been completely lost. We have this investigation. We have that we found a lack of candor. But then we also have Andrew McCabe saying that's simply not the case and kind of intimating that maybe the office was put under enormous political pressure for that finding.
But doesn't that bother you too? Because that means he's impugning the independence of the Office of Inspector General. It's actually, you know, you hear people complaining about Trump going after the FBI and knocking them down and discrediting them. Isn't that kind of, now McCabe would be doing the same thing in a way, discrediting the Office of Inspector General?
Yeah, it bothers me in both cases, I would say, unless it's true. And so with respect to President Trump, I have seen no evidence that the FBI is, you know, corrupt or dirty. He had this tweet that said that Mueller's investigation has 13, you know, hardened Democrats on it. First of all, it assumes that Democrats can't be fair and that only Republicans can be fair to him and that a legal investigation is just a partisan investigation. But also it ignores all of the Republicans that are actually the ones in charge of this investigation. So it bothers me when President Trump does it. It bothers me that Andrew McCabe had to get to that point. And I think that your questions are exactly right, which is that this is very complicated. It's not just President Trump fired someone from the FBI who he didn't like right before his pension vested because he's a vindictive person. There's more there.
Oh, there's a lot more there. Because of time, real quick, with about a minute to go, the Stormy Daniels thing has taken a new twist where they're saying she owes $20 million for breaches to the confidentiality agreement that she signed to hush. How's that going to play out? Because there's a 60 Minutes thing that's supposed to happen this Sunday.
Yeah, so the latest kind of legal wrangling is that President Trump's attorneys have said, let's remove this to federal court, which is very wise because they basically want to say federal courts, to try and kind of not get into the weeds too much, they want to go to arbitration. They don't want to go to state court. And what they're saying here, in order to allege damages to prove that they can walk in the federal court doors, is we have at least $20
million. Got it.
I think
okay.
that might be kind of a creative way. I mean, so imagine that there's a non-disclosure report, you know. So anyway, that's a long way of saying I'm not sure that, yeah.
Jessica, yeah. I thank you. We're out of time, but thanks. Two big
Sorry.
Stories. No, that's okay. PoliticsLLS.edu. The Twitter is at Levinson Jessica, and thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You take care. Hey, let's do some traffic with Jeff Woodward. Talk Radio 790 KBC.
And you have dependable traffic when you need it the most. Sponsored by Serta, and we do have a new crash downtown L.A., northbound on the 101 at Grand Avenue / Temple Street. It's actually a stall, but the second lane from the left is blocked because of that, with brake lights back from the 10 East San Bernardino Freeway interchange downtown. Triple trouble on the westbound 60 Pomona Freeway, West 60 at Diamond Bar Boulevard. Crash moved out of lanes into the center divider in Diamond Bar, but you're very slow all the way from Mountain Avenue now. And then in the City of Industry, westbound 60 at the 605, we have a crash clearing from the shoulder with brake lights from Azusa Avenue. And then we have a Caltrans project, West 60 at Paramount Boulevard, South El Monte. Two right lanes are closed for some maintenance with brake lights now back from Peck Road. And it's the Serta Spring into Comfort sales event. Don't settle for comfortable. Get Serta comfortable and save big today. Visit HB Mattress in Huntington Beach or SertaRetailers.com. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC Dependable Traffic.
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilton at 10 continues. That's from Lady Annabellum. We'll be playing with Darius Rucker, and I got tickets for that, and comedian Rodney Carrington. I'll tell you when to call next hour. What's interesting, and we just touched the surface with Jessica, was what the president's doing. If you're reading his tweets, he's talking about collusion, because it looks like what Mueller's going to, and experts are saying now, is obstruction more than collusion. He's looking at after the election. If he obstructed with Comey, et cetera, and the things that he's done, what the president's doing is tagging collusion, because if Mueller comes out with a case that doesn't involve collusion, president will say, see, it was bogus all along. They started with collusion, and then they moved to something else, so he will discredit or try and discredit anything else that they would find. He's setting up the fact that no collusion, it's fake. So if they find something other than collusion, a business dealing, et cetera, he'll say, yeah, they've now gone to something else because they couldn't prove their case. They were unable to do that. That is also non-credible because they started with collusion. They weren't able to produce anything that could prove collusion. So I'm innocent. His lawyers are now saying that he is not going to try and fire Mueller. He wouldn't. And he's getting pushback. Trey Gowdy actually said this.
This is the same Bob Mueller that just indicted, what, a dozen Russians for interfering with our election in 2016? My advice to the president is the same thing I just told his lawyer. Give Bob Mueller the time, the independence, and the resources to do the very job. Keep in mind, Chris, he didn't volunteer for this. He didn't start waving his hand and say, hey, picked me. A Trump-nominated Rod Rosenstein is who picked Bob Mueller. So give him the time, the resources, the independence to do his job. And when you are innocent, if the allegation is collusion with the Russians and there is no evidence of that and you're innocent of that, act like it.
Well, and there are some Republicans, including Lindsey Graham, who are saying, you know what, this is the beginning of the end if you go after Mueller. Another thing they might look into, however, and I noticed that General Michael Hayden, a former CIA director, said if the president, with his tweets, and he's tweeted as far back as July of 2017, why didn't Attorney General Sessions replace acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe, a Comey friend who was in charge of Clinton investigation? Also, FBI Director Andrew McCabe is racing clock to retire with full benefits, 90 days to go, he said, in December. There may be a case that the president intervening could have required the dismissal of the charges against the accused on grounds of undue command interference. He said, I can say if this were conducted under the rules that pertain to military justice, would have been thrown out because of what we call undue command influence, where the president is so hammering the guy to do something that the influence affected the outcome of the decision, and that could be a problem. We don't know, however, exactly what Mueller is looking into right now. Everybody, all these pundits are guessing. They're pulling it right straight out of their you-know-what. But the president was happy. Andrew McCabe fired. A great day for the hardworking men and women of the FBI. A great day for democracy. Sanctimonious James Comey was his boss and made McCabe look like a choir boy. The effect of that, of keeping mentioning Mr. Mueller, number one, and also Comey, is that Comey's book now has gone to number one on Amazon. It's not even published yet, but it's gone to number one overnight. A Higher Loyalty, True Lies, and Leadership climbed from number 15 on Amazon's bestsellers list on Saturday to the number one spot Sunday afternoon. I wanted to ask, and didn't have time to ask Jessica Levinson, what Comey is allowed to say when he's on this book tour and he's on The View and he's on Late Night. I guess he knows how far he can push, but he's going to be out there trying to set the record straight. You know, his tweet was, Mr. President, the American people will hear my story very soon. They can judge for themselves who is honorable and who is not. How much is he going to be allowed to say on these different shows? It's going to be stunning to see him out there. Remember, Michael Wolff's book, Fire and Fury, went to number one because of all of the tweeting and all the back and forth. What do you think about Comey? Should an ex-FBI director be allowed to do this book tour now and go out and create an environment where he creates a narrative for himself? I'm guessing he should be allowed to, but what limitations on what he can say and what he can't say will be in place? Because he's going to be on, I see the schedule already, he's on every late night show. He's on The View, he's on the morning shows, and he's going to be touting his book, and you realize what he's going to be promoting, that he was misrepresented. But how far is he going to go to plead his case, and how much is it going to affect the president? 800-222-5222, fascinating. I want to get into this whistleblower and this Cambridge Analytical deal as far as the analytics that were supposedly, they're misrepresented as stolen, as hacked from Facebook. I do know that right now, where is his stock? I think Zuckerberg's stock is now down $5 billion. He lost personally $5 billion because this controversy is affecting Facebook. And Facebook not looking so innocuous anymore. Like you just go on there and check out and see what your friends are doing. It looks like maybe Facebook needs some big oversight or bigger oversight than they're getting. 800-222-5222. What do you think about that? We will talk about that in a minute and try and get to the bottom of what this means, this Cambridge Analytics. I also have the whistleblower talking about what allegedly happened at Facebook with this analytics firm and how they used the analytical information they got, the psychographics that they got on you, me, and 50 million people to send us fake news stories to impact us without us even knowing. So we'll get to that in a minute. Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter Tilden at 10, right after this. Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Hey, loads of winners in the 790 KBC $500 high-low game. Weekdays, 6, 9, noon, and 3. Plus, just for playing, you get a gift card for Bristol Farms, your Southern California local food store since 1982. KBC $500 high-low game. Craig won $500 with Doug and Leanne, and Jerry from Canyon Country grabbed his $500 with Jillian and John. You can be next. Keep track of the guesses to have an even better chance to win. It literally pays to listen to 790 KABC. Coming up, so allegedly, a firm working with the Trump campaign stole 50 million users' data, including yours and mine, potentially. I want to discuss that with you and kind of get to the bottom of it and explain what went on there, because it was not necessarily stolen. It's been misrepresented a little that it was stolen, but I'll try and explain, and we can do it together when Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after the news here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.